predators like wolves, coyotes, and sometimes bears are responsible for millions of dollars in livestock losses each year nationally.
So for decades, ranchers and farmers have enlisted dogs to protect their animals from those kind of attacks.
Julie Young joins us now. She's field station leader at the USDA National Wildlife Research Center in Logan, Utah. Julie, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, how long has this practice of having dogs protect livestock been around?
It's been around for quite a long time. Some of the data suggests it's been around for about 5,000 years in parts of Europe.
So it goes back a ways. Do we know what kinds of breeds are typically used now and I guess also in the past?
Yes, there are 33 breeds used globally. And then, of course, a lot of people use mixed breeds as well. But of those, there were a few that became popular in the United States starting in the late 70s, early 1980s, and those were things like the Great Pyrenees and the Maremma.
And in terms of what the benefit is, why use dogs when there might be other methods that are available? What's the advantage there?
Right. Well, dogs offer something that some of the other non-lethal tools to manage depredation losses can't offer, and that is that they can respond. A lot of the other things, like turboflagellary, which is used quite a lot in Wisconsin and is very effective too, works well, but it doesn't have that ability to adapt to the situation on hand.
What is turboflagellary?
Oh,
did I hear you right?
So turboflagellary, I guess the best way to describe it for listeners is to envision flag football flags, something that you'd wear around your waist, and you can hang that around a pin or, usually somewhere where maybe you're having calves be born or lambs be born. And for some reason, to canids, especially wolves and coyotes, it's scary. And we call it turboflagellary because we'll often electrify it. So if they try to test it and break through that visual barrier, they get zapped and then are reminded it's scary.
Oh, wow. I've never heard of that. So that's something that's also in common practice in Wisconsin and other places?
Yes. It's becoming more common. Again, it also started historically in Europe where people would carry these lines of this flagellary, not electrified since people were carrying it, to funnel wolves when they would trap them during hunts. And so it kind of got adapted in the United States a little over a decade ago to be used to, instead of bring wolves and, trap them in, to keep them out, because, again, it's that visual barrier that scares them. And so, for instance, in Wisconsin, the Wildlife Services is actively working with ranchers to hang flagellary when they have calving going on.
But that doesn't work for everything, you were saying.
No, it works really well against canids. There's a little bit of evidence that it might also work against mountain lions, but bears tend to kind of ignore it. Now, bears are affected by electric fencing, so turboflagellary may work sort of indirectly because of the turbo part, but just general electric fencing works better against bears.
Now, here in Wisconsin, I don't think we have so much a problem with mountain lions, although I have heard there have been isolated mountain lions maybe reported, but not really a problem as far as I understand it for livestock. What are the predators that need to be addressed in Wisconsin and the Midwest?
Mm-hmm. In Wisconsin, I would say probably one of the biggest conflict issues is wolves, and then, of course, coyotes. I don't know what the data look like for your state on black bears, but elsewhere black bears can also cause a lot of conflict with livestock. But those three species are probably the priority species. One of the things about wolves in Wisconsin is that they don't, they come into conflict a lot of times with livestock, but also there seems to be a lot of issues with hunting dogs and hunting dogs being killed or attacked by wolves. And so, livestock guard dogs can be really effective, but people do have to consider if they're in an area where maybe wolves are less fearful of dogs already for some reason. Now, hunting dogs and guard dogs work very differently, so it's not to say that guard dogs wouldn't work in Wisconsin because of the high losses of hunting dogs, but, it's just something to think about as far as if you're a rancher there considering using guard dogs and you haven't yet. Some do get killed or attacked by wolves. We've seen that in states like Idaho and other western states. But for the most part, they work really well in areas with wolves.
Now, what kind of training do guard dogs need? I imagine they don't. There are some instincts involved, but I imagine there's maybe a lengthy training process also.
You know, they don't need too much training. The big part of the training, it is instinctive. The big part of the training is giving them a few commands so that they will respond to you or come to you, but not so much that they think of themselves as pets. You know, you want them to bond. So the biggest training is getting them to bond with the livestock. Most sheep, you know, the technique is most popular with sheep producers in the United States, and they often put puppies in with lambs so that they grow up together, and that really creates that bond. Now, once you have a few guard dogs, it's really easy to get new puppies and just have them learn the older dogs. But to start out, there's a lot of resources out there, both online and books, to help with the minimal amount of training that is needed to make sure that the dogs are bonded and but yet somewhat responsive to humans, and especially in ways that aren't dangerous to humans.
We're talking to Julie Young right now, field station leader at the USDA National Wildlife Research Center in Logan, Utah, talking about the practice of using dogs to protect livestock and other farm animals. We have an article up about this by WisContext right now on the Central Time Facebook page. And Julie, there could be, with dogs that aren't maybe socialized all the way or fully trained, some dangers inherent in this idea, including, you know, if someone's walking by, they're hiking. What about the dog being aggressive to people or being aggressive in situations where it's not appropriate?
Mm-hmm. And we do consider that quite a bit. We've been looking at different breeds of guard dogs and their effectiveness, especially against wolves out west. And one of the things that we did when identifying which breeds to use was, of the 33 that are used globally, we didn't select any that are in any way used anymore, you know, today as any sort of attack dog or fighting dog or anything like that. And so I think the big thing is just first and foremost for people to be aware of who they're buying the dogs from or where they're getting their dogs from, and making sure that they're from working lineages, that these are dogs born and raised and bred from working dogs that are, you know, out there with livestock. Most of the dog breeds in the United States have worked with sheep, but in Europe, a lot of the dogs work both with sheep and cattle. But there is a little bit of nuances, you know, in how that works. It works a little bit differently because sheep are more likely to herd together, which makes the dog's job a lot easier. And so, again, just making sure that, you know, people look at which breeds work best with cattle and, you know, which, and if they've maybe come from lineages that have already worked with cattle, that will make it a lot more effective. So a lot of it is just knowing the background of the dog and then knowing the background of how to train that dog. And we definitely, a lot of people get, you know, a little fearful, well, not fearful, but they think that they can't interact with the dog because then the dog might become too domestic or too pet-like. And in a few cases, we have that where the dog wants to spend more time at the house than out with the livestock. But in most cases, if you bond it as a puppy, they want, that's their litter mate. And so that's who they want to spend time with. And being able to pet the dog and give it a few commandments, so if there is a hiker walking by, it knows, you know, if anything, it might bark and walk up and you pet it on the head and then it goes back to the sheep or cattle. That's how you want to train the dog to behave.
Right, and you also want this job. It is a job to be humane for the dogs. And you were talking about some fatalities with wolves. And I can imagine if you're talking about guard dogs out west where there are grizzlies, that doesn't seem like a fair matchup between a dog and a grizzly. So what do you do in a situation like that?
Right. So there's a few things that people do. One is a lot of times people use more than one guard dog. So having them kind of act as a pack will really help both protect them and be more alert to the threats that are out there. Obviously, three dogs can do better than one. But, you know, when you're on a private ranch, sometimes that's not possible because of the size of the area. If you have too many dogs, they might get bored and start to roam. And one of the biggest threats, actually, to guard dogs is getting hit by a car because they roam. Mm. or they cross a street because the sheep have crossed the street. And so so that's, you know, something to consider. But, you know, grizzly bears, at least the few states where we've worked with guard dogs, I mean, they can, again, attack or even kill guard dogs, but they're pretty scared off by the bark. Wolves are a little bit more of a problem. And one of the things that we recommend, both for the road problem and for the wolf problem, is spay or neutering the dogs. For one thing, then you don't have a lot of unwanted puppies being born, or you don't have a pregnant female that can't, you know, she can't keep up anymore with your livestock because she's nursing or about to give birth. And for another thing, they don't roam as far when they're spayed or neutered. And so you kind of lower their risk of encountering wolves without their litter mates, you know, their other guard dogs. And also they won't roam, and so they won't cross as many roads.
Julie, thanks a lot for joining us today and filling us in.
Great. Thank you for having me.
That was Julie Young, field station leader at the USDA National Wildlife Research Center in Logan, Utah. And we've been talking about the practice of using dogs to protect livestock and other farm animals. And you can find a WisContext article about that topic over on the Central Time Facebook page.